it's going to go. There we go. Okay, so we just started streaming on our podcast channel. So for those who tune in to the audio format on the app Podbean, I want to encourage you to download the app Podbean if you haven't already. It's free, and you can subscribe to our podcast channel. If you are unable to view our sermons or teachings either through Facebook or YouTube, you can listen to it through the audio format that's streaming now. And in the link, if you're listening to me, you can click on our website and you can follow along with us, and it'll redirect you to the hyperlink to find our church website either on Facebook or YouTube. All right, so with that said, we're located here at 1836 Dixie Street, Oceanside, California. We are currently renting from the Friendly Church of God in Christ. You can locate our space by following those parking lot signs out there. And we are in the process of building our new signs. It's just a matter of time and love until my wife and I move into our new place where I can finish building those new signs. Current schedule is as follows. We have a midweek Bible study service today, for which I'm giving an announcement, 7 o'clock to about 8. We have a Friday night discipleship class where we're just studying some topical studies to strengthen our faith in the Word of God. And then we have soul winning on Saturdays. We'll get to that in a minute. And then our Sunday services, 1 o'clock to 1:30, Sunday school. Sunday service, 1:45 to 3. It's in the afternoon because of respecting the time that the main church meets here, et cetera, et cetera. All right, so as far as our calendar goes, I was hoping to remind our folks here that are our usual members that are attending of the upcoming baptism, Lord willing. So obviously, it's not the 16th because that's a Monday. I think we meant to say the 15th, right? So the 15th, which is this following Sunday after church, praise God, we're going to be baptizing Sister Eileen. And she's come a long way in her faith, and she's grown in a lot. Amen. She's been coming to church frequently, and that's a blessing. So she wants to publicly dedicate herself before the church and the world to let her know, to let everybody know she loves Jesus, and she's identifying with him in his in the burial, baptism with the water, and then the resurrection coming up out of the water. It's going to be a blessing. So we want to keep her in prayer that the enemy doesn't get a hole in there. Amen. As we all know, it's a spiritual battle, and the devil will do anything he can to distract us from serving God and just following through to obey the word of God. So we're very proud of her. So that's the upcoming announcement. Other than that, on the 21st, if you have the opportunity to, in 2 weeks, my wife and I will be moving. If anybody can open up some volunteer time on that day, surely appreciate that. We will provide lunch. Amen. So that's the incentive. And then we'll be going down to Berean Bible Baptist, Chula Vista. If anybody would like to attend with us on the 22nd for that Sunday night, that sure would be a blessing. I'll get to some announcements as we get there. Okay, ministry opportunities. If you have an opportunity, please join your church in soul winning. Tomorrow is our every other Thursday outreach. We're going to be going downtown right here to the Sunset Market from 6 to 7. We're just going to go for an hour. As those of you who know, we're just passing out flyers or holding up some scripture signs. We're just trying to be a light for Jesus in our city of Oceanside. There's not a lot of evangelism taking place, so we want to continue, not give up our heart. I know it's not a lot of us, but hey, that's all that God needs, just a few of us that are willing. So please join us if you can tomorrow. That sure be a blessing. And then Saturday, the same thing. We're going to meet around here in the morning from 11 to 12. We're going to go door knock and then go straight to the downtown pier area to go do some soul winning as well on the public outreach. Amen. So please attend if you can, if you're able, if you ain't sick, and that should be a blessing. And if not, pray, prayer, prayer, prayer. Next announcement here, we want to encourage you to submit a prayer request. If you're watching online, you can do so right here. And if you're in-house, you can log in as well, put a prayer request, or you can write it on an envelope, put it in the box back there, and we would love to continue to be in prayer with you and for you. Live stream links, you can find us either on the podcast stream, like I stated earlier. It is a free app. You can download it, and it'll redirect you to listen to the preaching or the services in an audio format. Or the Facebook church page, you can tune in as well. Subscribe and like and share. And also the YouTube, subscribe, like, and share. And last but not least, church, if you are a member of the Church Hope You Are, you can remain faithful in giving of your finances, whatever you purpose on your heart, between you and God only, to continue to give, to support the local church here in the ministry. You can do so at any time. As you guys know, we have a box in the back. We don't pass the hat. We expect the Christian to continue to grow in their understanding and their obedience to the Word of God. And let's just continue to be faithful with the Lord, with whatever we purpose on our heart. The New Testament laws, you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. And if you're struggling financially today, again, I just want to encourage you to admonish you, have you been giving as unto the Lord? Just consider that, amen? All right, So with that said, I was hoping that our folks would be here. Not sure what's going on, but we'll pray for them. I was going to share the announcement of what took place Sunday evening. But nevertheless, I want to thank God for those of you who are attending. So I just wanted to give you guys that update from last time, amen, from what took place in regards to our Sunday night when we went down there to Berean Bible Baptist and all the good that came out of it. So allow me to read, for those of you that are in attendance, what I posted on our social media, and then I'll show you guys the cool pictures of everything that went. So here is a quick update of my wife and I, personal life and spiritual life update. And so this is what I typed. I'd like to share with you today some recent updates on behalf of my wife and I pertaining to our Christian ministry and personal life. I've never have imagined myself being where I am today if it were not by the grace of God. I'm thankful for the calling of God on my life to be able to serve Him in ministry with the gift of pastoral service, to dedicate the rest of my life to reaching people with the gospel and edifying Christians with Bible-based teaching. This didn't happen overnight, of course. God had to grind off a lot of rust from our lives over the years, from worldliness and habits, etc. He's used various churches and pastors to guide me, teach me, shepherd me, reprove me over the years, for which I am thankful for. A lot of preparation for building up of godly character within our lives to strengthen holiness, dedication, and integrity in our Christian walk. I've learned that there's more to this Christian profession than just going to church on Sundays. I've learned following and believing in Jesus is about an entire lifestyle of whole submission to God and service towards His church. Over the years, my theological views have changed, grown, and been challenged, etc. Through much study, I've adopted our current position on scriptural teaching that is generally associated with independent Baptist beliefs and values. I must state, however, although each church is independent, we do share general fundamentals. There isn't a one-size-fits-all on this side of the Christian camp, LOL. However, because of Christ's charity in my heart, I've still maintained healthy Christian relationships with my former churches, pastors, and friends. When I began our current church plant within the city of Oceanside, I knew that it would be difficult, not only due to finances and physical support, but theologically challenging. Theologically challenging as it pertains to what our church stood for and how we sought to offer our city this style of teaching. I've met many great fellow independent Baptist pastors who've come alongside of my wife and I from here to the East Coast, even from India, some friendly and some not so friendly. I realize that we Christians still have a lot of personal growth to do, regardless of one's theological convictions. But of the many who've offered a helping hand, through much prayer and fasting, my wife and I have accepted the loving care and support from Pastor Melito Barrera, pastor from Berean Bible Baptist Church in Chula Vista. I've learned over the years the various Baptist traditions that many uphold too, some of which is reasonable to maintain, other traditions are simply each pastor's own convictions. I'm thankful for the patience God has shown me over the years in learning more about these things. As of today, I'm glad my wife and I have patiently waited. Of course, I must admit as well, through some youthful zeal, concerning what church and which pastor we would come under for spiritual accountability and support. I'm glad our patience and time has led us to our new home church in Chula Vista. Pastor Melito and I have been friends over the years. He's seen and observed our heart for the Lord, dedication, and service for others. We were officially presented before the church yesterday, prayed over, and even baptized into their local church membership. It's under this church now from which our church here in Oceanside, California, is now covered, sponsored, and supported by the for the work of God. I'm also happy to announce that we will be moving soon as God provided for us a new home to rent in North County. I'd like to thank God for all your prayers and love for those of you who've shown support towards my wife and I over the years. We will continue to dedicate ourselves wholly in reaching our city of Oceanside with the gospel, door-to-door, and public outreach. God truly has been good to us. Please continue to pray for our church here in Oceanside for our growth and commitment as a family in Christ for His service. My wife and I vowed it to continue to be a charitable Christian friend to you no matter what. For prayer, fellowship, or study, you know where to find us. And so we have the hyperlink to the video of that Sunday night and then the church website. So here's our pictures. Amen. For those of you that are in-house, that's me. And then there's Sister Katie. Amen. And that's just the cool logo of the church. You know, you've been there, sister. And of course, that's Pastor Melito. So I just wanted to give our church, for those of you who are here, a friendly update as to all the good news. Amen. So as of now, by the grace of God, we have an extended church family all the way from Chula Vista. They love us. They're here for us. And they're praying with us. And they're praying for us. Amen. And so, amen. Praise God. Welcome back, guys. So we just went over some quick announcements. I'm not going to repeat it. But if you guys get a chance, I know Brother Giovanni has a Facebook, but I was just sharing with our church of the good news that took place last Sunday night of the of us going down there and Pastor Melito presenting us before the church. And I just kind of read my post, but if you guys get a chance, you can read the post later on. But here are just the cool pictures. So that's Pastor Melito for those of you guys who haven't been down there yet. And here is my wife, and then here is me. And again, as I stated in my post, we were presented before the church this past Sunday night. We were prayed over and baptized into the local church membership. And so now I just want to present to you guys our church here, that by the grace of God, our friends now from Chula Vista is a part of our family. And although many of you have not physically been down there yet, spiritually, they are a part of our family now. And Pastor is a pastor to me, and he's a pastor to you as well for extension. So all your complaints and murmuring, y'all can call him up. No, I'm just kidding. Don't call him up now, but go ahead. Anytime. He's just going to be a pastor to all of us. Amen. So that church is going to be a church family to us. So I do encourage you one of these days when you have a chance on a Sunday night to travel with my wife and I to go down there and introduce yourselves. That would be an honor for me as your pastor to present you guys to our church family down there. And that everything went well. So I just wanted to give you guys that quick little update before we continue. Amen. So that's the good news. And then for those of you guys just coming in, this coming Sunday, the 15th after church is the baptism for Sister Eileen. Amen. So we just wanted to quickly remind you guys of that. And yeah, amen. All right, church. Well, do me a favor. Let's go ahead and open up in our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 23. It's been a while since we've been here together in the book of Acts. So let's go ahead and get back in there as we want to finish this Bible book verse by verse study. Amen. And I sure do appreciate all of you who are here in attendance tonight. That sure does bless my heart. And I want to thank God for Brother Giovanni. He was reaching out to me this week for food distribution. So I reached out to some of our pastor friends next door, Pastor Morris and other brethren. So hopefully they'll make some calls and for the pickup, and that'll be a blessing. I told him to let him know that Brother Giovanni Martinez sent him. Amen. So that way he can get some points there. But anyways, thank you for that, brother. Sure appreciate that. All right. So the book of Acts, chapter number 23, again, it's been a while since we've been in this verse-by-verse study. As those of you guys who know who have been with us any length of time, I took some break from our midweek Acts study because I wanted to answer some questions. For those of you know who our dear brother who no longer fellowships with us, I was answering a lot of his questions regarding the doctrine of Calvinism and obviously its falsity, how it's not a true and biblical representation of God and salvation. So I took a lot of our time to look at some different verses to be able to talk about that, right? And it was a blessing. Those studies really encouraged him and also gave us a little bit further knowledge of the eternal purpose of God and Christ and all that good stuff. So now we're back to it. Amen. We're back to our Bible study verse by verse. And all those videos are archived, so you guys can go back to learn more about that. But let's go ahead and pick up here, church, from verse number 11. Again, let me just give you guys a friendly reminder of where we last left off here in our verse-by-verse study in Acts. So remember, guys, the Apostle Paul was led of his spirit to want to go back all the way to Jerusalem. He wanted to come back all the way to Jerusalem to honor God and to worship God and to reach out to his fellow kinsmen, the Jews. But little did he know what awaited him, which was what? Persecution. Remember how he got beat up by the Jews? And a Roman officer had to get in there, had to save his butt, take him on out, and then, you know, talk to him. And all the Jews started accusing him back and forth. And remember how we learned from the Bible that a man can resist the will of God, even an apostle. So the Holy Ghost told him many, many times through different churches and different folks, don't go to Jerusalem. Don't go to Jerusalem, man. You got bounds waiting for you. You got some chains waiting for you. But remember, he's like, I'm willing to die. Now, we can commend Paul for his faithfulness. But at the same time, it's like, man, come on, you should have listened. But again, we know that that's the example for all of us, that any one of us can resist the will of God in our life. Can I get an amen? Any one of us here today can fail to read our Bible. We can fail to give our finances. We can fail to evangelize. We can. Any one of us can kind of fit the principle of saying, I know what God is telling me to do, but I want to do X, right? Fill in the blank. So he gets beat up. The Roman centurion saves him, Claudius Lysias. And now as he was beginning to go back and forth with holding him into the castle, here we have a story that we're going to find out right now about these Jews plotting to take him out. And it just so happened that his nephew heard, or overheard, if you will, the threat from the Jews who wanted to do this. And we're gonna talk about the promise that Christ made Paul for never leaving him nor forsaking him, so that he would accomplish the will that God had for his life. And today I'm hoping that we can all gain some application from what we're gonna study tonight, which is God ain't gonna be done with you until you're out of here. Amen. And we'll talk about that as we move forward. Excuse me. So with that said, let's go ahead and read, starting from verse number 11. We're going to go ahead and read through the remaining, and then we're going to go back through it, study it the best we can, verse by verse. Amen. So verse number 11, let's go ahead and then we'll pray. Bible says here, in the night following, the Lord stood by him, that's talking about Paul, and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified to me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, 'We have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him.' And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, 'Bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him.'" By the way, church, we are in Acts 23, verse number 17. "So we took him, brought unto the chief captain, and said, 'Paul the prisoner called me unto him, and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee.' Then the chief captain took him by the hand, and went with him aside privately, and asked him, 'What is it that thou hast to tell me?' And so here's the nephew that begins to tell the officer. He said in verse 20, 'The Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, 'See thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me.' And he called unto him two centurions, saying, 'Make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, and spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night.'" Verse 24, "Provide them beasts, that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor." And so now here's the letter that the officer Claudius Lysias is going to write to Felix the governor. And here is what it says. Verse 26, "Claudius Lysias unto the most excellent governor Felix sendeth greeting. This man was taken to the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. When I would have known the cause wherefore they accused him, I brought him forth into their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. And when it was told me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straightway to thee and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell." Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. On the morrow, they left the horsemen to go with him and return to the castle, who, when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was, and when he understood that he was of Cilicia, 'I will hear thee,' said he, 'when thine accusers are also come.' And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall." Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've given us all who have put our faith and trust in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, God, I pray that you would fellowship with us, Lord God. Please draw near to us as we draw near to you. Help me today to teach this church, the members of this church, God, the Word of God. Please give them a spirit to listen today, to focus, to set aside distraction, God, so they can attend their minds to you, Lord. Help us to receive application, comfort, consolation, wherever. Lord, deal with us accordingly, Lord, and I pray that we might learn something that much more about you to cause us to change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, church, let's go back to Acts 23, verse number 11. And again, for those of you guys who came in a little bit later on, we're coming back to our midweek Bible study, verse by verse through Acts. Amen. So now let's go ahead and we're going to try to finish up this book soon. Okay, so the Lord stood by Paul. Look at that in verse number 11. He told him to be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Here we have, church, the good news that Jesus Christ was not done with Paul yet. Here, the Lord is confirming the commission that he placed, or if you will, ordained within Paul's life. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles now to the book of Acts chapter 9 to remember and remind ourselves the plan and the purpose that Jesus had for this man, Saul of Tarsus. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles together now. Acts chapter 9, and let's start reading here in verse number 15 through verse number 16. For those of you who remember that Paul was a persecutor of Christians there in Jerusalem, and by the time he made his way on up there to a place called Damascus, there was some Christians already there, some Jews who had converted to their faith in the Messiah. And one of these Jews' name was Ananias. The Bible says he was a good guy. And when the Lord appeared to this fellow Ananias in a vision, he had told him, I want you to go to this street, I want you to look for this man, and I want you to pray for him because I have a plan for his life. I'm paraphrasing it for you. And Ananias began to argue with him a little bit. He kind of was doubtful a little bit. He said, Lord, do you know who this guy is? Don't you know that he has authority and he's persecuting us, your people? Don't, are you sure about this? And now we have in verse number 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You see there? That is the plan, the ordination, the commission of Paul's life. Jesus told Ananias, this is what I'm going to do with him. He is going to bear witness of me, who I am. He's going to present, that is, the gospel to the Gentiles, to the kings, and to the Jews. But he is going to also show him how much great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He wants to be faithful to the God of Israel. Well, I'm going to show him how faithful he must be to represent me accurately and perfectly. And so later on, as many, many years have gone by, right, in Acts 23, Paul is getting older in age, and before he gets to Rome, and before eventually he gets martyred for the faith, here we have the Lord reaffirming, be of good cheer, Paul, I'm with you, back there in verse 11 of Acts chapter number 23. And as far as Paul's life as a pattern and an example for all of us to follow, we know, church, that he serves as a great example. Would you do me now a favor, and let's go ahead and turn on our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1. There's two things I want to take from this to bring some application to our lives today. Number one, that Paul's life served as an example to any sinner that if he could be saved, so can they. It doesn't matter if you were a gangster. It doesn't matter if you were an extortioner, robbing people of their money. It doesn't matter if you were an idolater. It doesn't matter if you were an adulterer, adulteress. If you were a drunkard, it doesn't matter who you are, no matter what you've done. Paul's life is set forth as an example to the worst of sinners that if Jesus Christ can save his soul from a burning hell, he could save their soul too. And we're going to see that in a little bit. So two things I want us to see that, number one, from Acts 23, where we're at in our verse-by-verse study, when the Lord tells him, be of good cheer, thou must also bear witness of me or testify of me in Jerusalem and also at Rome, he is affirming that truth, that the gospel, that is Jesus Christ, he is the only way to heaven. He is the Lord. He is the promised Messiah to the nation of Israel, but he's the Savior of the world. He can save anybody. And he is going to use his life as that example. So now read with me, church, if you will, if you're there with me in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And let's read together here in verse number 12. The Bible says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now check this out. This is why this is crazy, y'all. Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but, he says, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. In other words, when he was down for what he held as his convictions before he got saved, the Lord said, man, that's a faithful man. Look at how much zeal and look at how much energy he has for that thing that he was going off of, that thing that he stood for, that thing he represented, or whatever caused him to want to live a life as such, and he was a faithful guy. How many of you were faithful to something or someone before you got saved and now you've seen a change in your life? Some of you used to be a part of a gang. Some of you used to just make money and notice how much time and effort you put into that, you know, that calling, if you will, that you had before in your life. Some of you just put so much energy into a lifestyle, if you will. You know, understand? So there's something about Paul here that the Lord looked from heaven and said, man, look at that Hebrew. He's a faithful man. He's pretty zealous for what he's doing. But before he was put into the ministry, he was a blasphemer. Ooh, he was messed up. He was a persecutor. Ooh, even more. And then thirdly, he was injurious. Isn't that crazy? That word injurious, church, you know what that means? It means it's likely to cause injury. Paul was a harmful man. He was an offensive man. He was abusive. He was slanderous. He was insolent. He was one who was uplifted with pride by either heaping or insulting language upon others, or does them some shameful act of wrong. How many of you guys can say you fit in that category before you got saved? Man, you were a messed up guy. You were filled with pride. You probably had a dirty mouth. You didn't care about nobody but yourself. You didn't let nobody get in your way to accomplish that kind of thing. How many of you guys know that Jesus, he likes those kind of sinners. He died for them. Amen. And so no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've done in your past, there is no sin too great enough for the Savior who didn't die for that. Amen. There is hope and there's grace and forgiveness for all. So look at what he says in verse number 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul didn't get that through being a local zealot Pharisee in the synagogue. He didn't get that by his deeds of the law. He made that very clear that by the deeds of the law, nobody would be justified in the sight of God. You know where he found that grace, church? He found that faith and look at love in Christ Jesus. So go back all the way to Acts 9. When he got saved, you know what he experienced? The love of God. Isn't that powerful? Verse number 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know what Paul was going to go tell the Romans? Jesus Christ died for you. You know what Paul would go and tell the kings? Jesus Christ died for you. You know what Paul would go and tell the Hebrews, the children of Israel? Jesus Christ, he died for you. The Son of God came into this world to save sinners, to save you, to save me. And let me tell you my testimony. And then that's what Paul does. He tells his testimony. He tells them, man, this is who I was before. I was messed up. I was a murderer. I was a persecutor. I was injurious. I was an angry man. But Jesus, the Son of God, he offers me grace and mercy, and he saved my soul, and I am no longer that man. He can do that for you. How many of you guys have believed in Jesus? Are you happy for that? Well, Paul's the pattern. He looks and he says in verse number 16, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. What does that mean? He was patient. For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Aren't you glad that Jesus was patient with you, church? Before Sister Maribel got saved, Felipe got saved, Raphael, Giovanni, man, we were messed up. We were just living life amok. We were smoking, token, you know, we were living in fornication, or we were, you know, in a relationship. We shouldn't have been outside of God's holy matrimony. A lot of us came from a lot of background. But you know what that Bible says? He was patient. And here we go. If Paul can be an example of the worst of sinners, he could save you. And that's what he says. So what is the message? What is the testimony that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners? That is what the Lord was going to preserve him for, so he could continue to bear witness of that truth. Christ saves sinners. Paul's life is a pattern of that for all sinners who can identify with him, and generally all of us who've come short of the glory of God. Why is that important, church? Because this is the purpose for Paul's testimony, to preach and teach to both Jews and Gentiles that God commended his love toward them, and that while they were yet sinners, Christ died for them. As also saith Peter, and I'll show this to you on the projector, 1 Peter 3, verse number 18, the Apostle Peter says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Notice, not a church, not a religion, not your works, not your deeds, not your feelings, but the person of Christ. When you put your faith in him, he is the one that brings you to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. This amazing truth, Christian, is the purpose for which Paul was to testify at Rome, before the Jews and the Gentiles, that the great God of Israel hath fulfilled his promise concerning the prophecy, fulfillment of him as the Messiah, the Son of God, to be the one who ultimately makes and provides the pathway for all to be completely forgiven of their sins. Would you do me a favor, church, and turn your Bible with me to Romans chapter 1? Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles together now. Romans chapter 1. And what I'd like to do now, church, is remind us of this gospel promise. This blessed God that we believe in, this blessed God that we serve, is the great God of Israel. Remember, this is not the God of the Mexicanos, the God of the Guatemalans, the God of the Africans, the God of the Gentile nation. No, this is the God of that people, the God of Israel. And it's that God who has revealed himself through his people, the Jews, the Word of God, the revelation, the Old Testament. And it was that God who was manifest in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. The promise of that gospel then that would save sinners according to the Holy Spirit of God who gave inspiration to the scriptures told Paul to write this in verse number 1. Let's read together. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of what? God. Many of us know it as the gospel of Christ. Many of us know it as the gospel of the grace of God. Well, it's the gospel of God. How about that? Which, verse number 2, he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. What is that a reference to? The Old Testament. So God, the God of Israel, promised a long time ago by telling these prophets of old, thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago, throughout time, I'm going to send my son into the world to die for your sin, and he is going to be the means of your forgiveness. If you put your faith and trust in him, I will forgive you. I will receive you into myself, but you have to believe. I promised it. So what happened? It came to pass. He was manifest in the flesh, born of the virgin. We know the story. Now look at verse 3. Concerning who? His son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So we know he was a Jew. And verse number 4, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among Israel. Is that what it says, church? No. What does it say? All nations. For who? His name. Remember what Jesus told Paul back there in our base text in Acts 23? He just got beat up. He is in chains. He is about to be sent to Rome. Don't you think Paul must have been a little sad by now? He must have felt a little bummed out, a little discouraged, must have been hurting. But look at what the Lord told him back there in verse 11. He said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." Where did we see the promise? The Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament, for obedience of the faith among all nations for his name. So who do we serve? Jesus. Who are we here to testify unto? Jesus. Who are we to tell the world about? Jesus Christ. As much as I want people to attend physically Simple Faith Baptist Church, not a problem. But them coming to church is not going to save their soul if they don't believe in who? Jesus. They first need to hear Jesus Christ and what he did for them. And if they so choose of their free will to want to learn about that faith and be discipled under our church and under our ministry, man, praise God. That'll be awesome. But our primary goal when we go out there tomorrow on the Thursday night sunset market, Saturday, door knocking in public, our primary goal is just to tell somebody, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you can be saved because it's all about Jesus. So Paul, hey man, be of good cheer, the Lord told him. You're going to continue to bear witness of me. What is my application, church? When it's our time to die in his will, it'll happen. Until then, he will preserve us for the purpose for which he desires to accomplish through us. Notice, church, let's go back to our base text in Acts 23. Notice the silent response from the Apostle Paul. Look it. We don't see anything recorded as if Paul responded. And I mention that because it takes time to reach this level of humility before God. whereby rather than bringing to God all of our complaints, all of our murmurs on why we can't, or why I won't be able to serve you, Jesus, don't you know, Jesus, what they're doing to me? Don't you know I don't have enough money? Don't you know I don't have enough time, Jesus? Don't you know I'm getting old, Jesus? Don't you know I got to get things done, Jesus? Notice, here is Paul in chains. He's about to go to Rome, and he's going to die. But the Lord said, be of good cheer. You're going to keep testifying of me. Notice, he humbly responded in obedience. Church, that level of maturity, it takes a long time to just say, yes, Lord, I got you. I'll keep doing it, Lord. Holding in the murmuring, holding in the complaint, holding in the excuses that a lot of us have from serving him. We got to continue to emulate that example like the apostle. Yes, Lord, wherever you want, whatever you want. Turn your Bible with me to the book of John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Are we as Christians going to be free from trials? No. Are we as Christians going to be free from temptation? No. Are we as Christians going to be free from tribulations? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, when you got saved, you became a target for Satan. And as soon as you got saved, you were no longer under his domain. You got converted, right? You were born again, no longer of his world. Now you are of the Lord's world up there. You became a target on Satan's list because now you have the freedom and the power to be able to free more sinners who are still blinded in their sin and trusting in whatever, you know, God only knows what they're trusting in all around us. He's going to do everything in his power to disrupt your walk with God, to discourage you from obeying God, to keep you from evangelizing, to keep you from coming to church. He's going to do everything in his power. But there's somebody that told you to keep your eyes on him. Let's read. Verse 16. Here we have Jesus Christ and the immediate disciples. He's given him a word of encouragement before he's betrayed. Remember the story. Read with me. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. What are they doing? What does he mean? What's the Lord talking about? Peter, do you know? Hey, James, do you know what he's talking about? Now, Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And so he just continues to encourage them. Look at verse 27. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and I believe that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and I'm come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. So verse 29. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. How about that? What is he telling them, church? Look, man, your heart is sad. I know it is. I know that the world, they're going to be happy when I'm on that cross. They're going to be rejoicing because they think they're going to take me out. And you guys, Peter, James, all of you guys, you're going to be scattered. You're going to leave me alone. Can you imagine that? The master knew what he was going to accomplish. The disciples didn't. They all said, Lord, we'll go with you to the end. Remember, Peter? Man, we'll die with you, Jesus. We're down. But Jesus said, all of you guys, you're going to leave me alone. But I'm not alone. The Father's with me. Now look at verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, what does he say, church? Ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus did not say that in your church you're going to have peace. Because Christians still offend Christians. Christians still disappoint Christians. Christians still fail Christians. Christians will still hurt and disappoint, but your Savior won't. He told you to keep your eyes open. He told you that you are going to have problems. Hey, Paul, be of good cheer. Just like you testified of me all this time, I'm going to send you to Rome so you can tell them more about me. What's my application, church? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Your purpose as a believer from the very moment of your conversion was to be a witness for him from the beginning. To use your body, to use your time, to use your money, to use your talents, to use your marriage, to use your family, to be a witness for him. My question, church, are you being a witness for Jesus? You know, Jesus Christ told him to be of good cheer because he overcame the world. On your own time, you can read these verses, John 12, 31, John 14, 30, John 16, 11, and Ephesians 2, 2. Jesus Christ already overcame the devil. Jesus Christ already overcame all the temptation, all the sin. He was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. So when that thing comes to you, the trial comes to you, if you don't look to Jesus, you're going to fall. You will mess up. But is he going to stop loving you? No. He'll be with you to the end. That's what blows my mind away about this Christian faith, church, is that our faith is not dependent upon our works. It is dependent upon his love for me, his love for you. And that's why, church, I provoke you so much to do something for the Lord, to go with me and tell the world, because he deserves it. Look at how much he loves us. He never gave up on us. And we don't do what he asks us to do. But he told you, when the problems of life happen in your life, you have to look to me. That's what he's telling you. You see, church, it's not going to be us that can give you that peace. I can give you a burrito, Brother Felipe, when you're hungry. I can give Brother Giovanni a vegan patty. But man, I cannot get in his heart. I cannot get in your heart. And I cannot help you with the anger, the sadness, the bitterness, the doubts. But Jesus Christ, he can. But what do we have to do, church? Keep our eyes on him. Hey, Paul. Be of good cheer. Hey, Raphael. Hey, Felipe. I need you to get out there. Be witnesses for me. Giovanni, Kina, myself, Eileen. Hey, we need to be witnesses for Jesus. He'll be with us. Before we close, let's go back to our base text, Acts 23. Let's talk about these guys that want to take him out. They want to kill him. Look what happened. When it was day, Acts 23:12. Certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Ooh, so much for love, these Jews who say they love the God of Israel. You know, he just commanded that you love your neighbor as yourself, you know what I'm saying? And there were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy, and they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now, therefore, you with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow as though you would inquire something more perfectly. Remember, look, at that's a lie. As though, you know, like you're going to, but you're really not. And we are ready to kill him. Do me a favor. Turn your Bible with me to the book of Proverbs 1. Proverbs chapter 1. I have a question, church. Where did the inspiration to want to murder come from? These Jews claim to be followers of Jehovah. They claim Moses is their teacher, and Moses commanded them to love the Lord God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love his neighbor as himself. And yet they want to kill this Jew. Where did that inspiration come from? Well, let's read the Bible. Maybe that'll help us out. Amen. Proverbs chapter 1. Read with me, church, if you would, starting in verse 11. I'm sorry, verse 10. Verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That's a good verse, church. If an unbeliever wants you to do something that disobeys God, do not do what they're asking you to do. Anybody? If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and woe as those that go down in the pit. Hey, let's take them fools out over there. Let's just go kill that guy. Let's just go kill these people. Let's just go murder these babies in the womb. Let's just go do something against innocent or something against another. They think, look at, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses. You know, when they break in and steal, cast in thy light among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Those Jews, they're evil. They're wicked. There was somebody else in the air that was inspiring them to want to kill Paul. We'll get to him in a minute. Proverbs chapter 12. I'm glad that you're saved. Some of y'all before, man, you guys walk like that. Y'all were just like, man, I want to take him out right now. I want to kill this guy. I'm glad that you're born again and saved. Amen. That's good. And I love witnessing to gangsters now because, again, their daddy is Satan. I remember talking to this fellow in the Pier Church. I'm never going to forget this. This guy was tatted up. I won't name his name. But, you know, these Mexicano gangsters, they still act tough even though they have a rosary. You know, I don't know why they have a rosary. It's kind of funny. You know, they have a little cross. You know, I don't know why. But as I'm witnessing to this fellow, I said, hey, man, I just got a question for you, man. I said, who's your daddy? And he was just like, what do you mean, who's my daddy, man? I said, no, man, for real. Check this out. I got a point, man. Who's your daddy? You say you claim in God, right? You believe in God with that little thing. I said, bro, but why do you want to go and take them dudes out from Center Street and they want to take you out? I said, that's murder. I said, you know what God says in this Bible, brother? I told him. I said, that murderous spirit is from Satan, bro. Say, you know who your daddy is? It's Satan. He got all quiet. I told him straight up, this is an OG guy I'm talking about. I was just glad that I didn't get taken out. You know what I mean? Brother didn't get on me. But no, I said, who's your daddy? But I'll show you that in a minute. Look, Proverbs 12:6. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for the blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. Paul, he's going to make it. He got saved. These wicked Jews probably didn't get saved, but you know their heart. It was wicked. It was evil because of what? Murder. They wanted to lie in wait for innocent blood. One more, Proverbs 28, and then we'll go to John. Look at here. Verse number 17. The Bible says, a man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his way shall fall at once. Now, those 40 Jews who wanted to kill Paul, according to God, these are children of the devil, the god of this world, who inspired their heart and their mind to want to commit murder. Let's see what Jesus has to say about that. Turn your Bible with me to the book of John, chapter number 8. And church, all of us, before we were born again Christians, we were children of the devil. We were children of wrath, the Bible teaches in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Our God was Daddy Satan, and he told us to do whatever the heck we want. You want to go ahead and have sex before you get married? Do it. You want to smoke weed? Go ahead and do it. You want that money? Go ahead and get it. Do whatever you want. Just don't believe in Jesus Christ. You know, that God up there who died for you. No, don't do that. Just do whatever. We all were underneath his blindness. And so these Jews that were in John 8, in that context before Christ, the same spirit is in them as those Jews in John in Acts 23 that want to take out Paul. I'm just showing this to you, church, to remind you of who the battle is against truly in the day and who's the one that's influencing the hearts of the unbeliever who want to cause evil to others, not just Christians, but just generally speaking. Look with me here in John 8:39. These Jews, that's the context, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Now ye seek to kill me. A man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Real quick, they wanted to kill Jesus. He said, I'm just telling you the truth. I know that you're Jews. but you have a different father. It's not Abraham. Ooh. So who's that father? Let's continue to read, starting in verse number 42. If God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Are you ready? Ye are of your father, say it with me, church, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. It doesn't say they will sometimes do it, church. It says that they will do it. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. According to Jesus, those 40 plus Jews, they were not born again. They were not regenerate. They were unregenerate. They sought to kill Paul because Satan was influencing their hearts, their mind, easily, since they were already far from God and from his word. You can read Mark 7:6. But before we come to a close, let me finish with this. This is pretty good, all right? Go back with me to our base text, and we're going to close here. We're almost done. Just give me a couple more minutes. Look at verse number 16. So the Jews, they went to the priests. Here's our plan. Just go ahead and tell that Roman officer, we'll take her the rest. We will take him out. We've got the ambush ready to go. Verse 16. When Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. So he took him, brought him to the chief captain, and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee. The chief captain took him by the hand, went with him aside privately, and asked him, what is it that thou hast to tell me? It just so happened. Can you do me a favor, church, and look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it just so happened. Anybody? Paul's sister's son was hanging around. It just so happened that his nephew was there. It just so happened that one of the centurions was there after the rapport, and that centurion took him to the chief captain. The chief captain heard him. And God, out of all and the means by which he could declare this news unto this Gentile, used a little boy. I'm going to get a message out of that in a minute. So the little boy is now telling the officer in verse 20, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now they are already looking for a promise from thee. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, see thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me. God used a little boy to humble an older man. A little boy with no authority to change the mind of a man with a lot of authority to protect Paul, because who said, Paul, you're going to get there to Rome safely? That was Jesus. So again, it just so happened God used this little boy, and he heard it. He went over here, told Paul, hey, uncle, this is what they're going to do. Sir, come over here. This boy has something to tell the chief. Can you please take him to him? All right. Hey, chief, little boy has something to tell you. Son, go ahead and tell me what's going on. And now look at what happened here, verse 23. The chief officer called two centurions. By the way, a centurion was an old school Roman officer who oversaw 100 soldiers. And he said, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea. Horsemen 70. By the way, church, every score in your King James Bible is 20. So let's go ahead and do it together. 20, 40, 60, that's 70, so 70. Spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night, and provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor. Aren't you glad for God? One more verse, and we're coming to a close. 1 Corinthians 1. Church, what do I want to bring some application from this verse? God can use anyone and anything to bless, to protect, to provoke, to help you to accomplish the plan that he has for your life. Look at verse 21 in 1 Corinthians 1. The scripture says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Aren't you glad that God can use a little boy to help get Paul safely to Rome? And I want to leave you with this as we close, because towards the end of Acts chapter 23, church, as we read, all it is just a letter that Claudius Lysias writes to Felix, the governor, to talk about the story. I just want to end with this application that God is not done with you yet. He can use anyone in your life and anything in your life to help get you to the place he's called you to be, so he can continue to fulfill the purpose that he gave you, which is to be a witness for him. And as many of you guys have known, some things that I recently have gone through, it has gotten me here so I can continue to be a what? A witness for the name of Jesus Christ. And all of you that are here tonight, God used somebody, God used someone to help you to come to know him. And now God is using me and others to help you to continue to move forward to do something for who? For him. What you have to do, church, is to be obedient and to yield yourself to Jesus Christ. Let him use you. Let him use your mouth. Let him use your body. And he will guide you. He'll take care of you. And he will provide your need so you can sufficiently continue to use your life and your body to serve him. I know it's difficult, church, for us to still want to take care of self. You think you still need money to cover this. You think you need time to do this. I'm telling you, church, if you look to Jesus and you yield your heart to him and your body to him and your time for him, he will take care of everything else, because that's what he promised. So if we can see that he faithfully got Paul to Rome safely, he too likewise will help us to get to where we need to be so we can continue to bear witness to his name. Remember, church, it's all about Jesus Christ. As much as it's about self at times and us and our feelings, it's really not as important as just letting somebody know about Jesus Christ. So that's the end of Acts 23. So Lord willing, next week we will pick up in Acts chapter number 24, and we will continue in our verse-by-verse study. Amen. Anybody have any questions, comments tonight before we close? Good. All right, let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. Thank you for the saints, God, that came in tonight. Lord, it sure blessed my heart to see them that are here. Lord, just like we have seen time and time again, God, throughout the scriptures, how faithful you are to your promise. Lord, I know you have a plan and calling for Brother Giovanni's life, Brother Felipe's life, Brother Rafael's life, those that are married, their wives. Lord, I know, God, that you have a plan for all of the brothers and sisters here, Lord. But just like Paul was obedient, and just like at times he strayed a hair bit, he came back to you with his heart, Lord, and you use him for the end, for whatever it is that you have for his life. I know likewise you can do that within all of our lives, God. Lord, I am also guilty. Lord, when I excuse myself from serving you at times because I need money, or I need family, or I need certain things to make myself feel satisfied in the flesh. But Lord, it's all about bearing witness to your name. That's what you told Paul. That's what you made it clear in the scriptures. Lord, would you help the rest of our church tonight to continue to have desire to make your name known to the world? That God, you can use them. You can use their body. You can use their language, their speech, because it will be you through the Spirit of God operating to tell somebody else about you. Lord, I thank you for them that are here. Help us to continue to grow in obedience and our love for you and each other, to continue to be a light and something to change this city of Oceanside for with your gospel. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, church. Well, the Lord bless you. And I want to thank you guys for coming. Amen. Have a good rest of your night.